How many children would come and tell you when they lost their virginity?
That's true. Oh, my gosh.
Can they hear the fact that I'm blushing?
Touch the Muppet Baby.
May the force be with you.
Because when I die, it's going to piss me off.
Oh, picturing my two-year-old, the freedom to get all red-faced in the middle of the living room and just launch some ass candy into his diaper.
I never want to eat candy again.
It's like, just like, why are you such an ass?
And now look at us. We're doing an iPod in the dining room.
Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast. I am your host, Justin Warsham.
Yeah, you are.
With me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, the KevinMiller.com.
The website is down. Please don't go to that address. But what? As the early adopter, I have adopted time travel.
The early adopter website is down?
No, the Kevin Miller is all jacked up right now. Something happened with Google Mail. Did we talk about this at all?
Not on the show.
I decided to avoid the scare of having somebody crack into my account. I wanted to change my password, which I hadn't done.
Oh, good for you.
In 8 years. So I changed it. And then forgot it promptly. That's where you should have put it.
Oh, good for you.
So I had to go through all these steps, but it disconnected me from Gmail. And now, thanks to that, my website has gone back to the placeholder ad page that register.com created back in 2001. If you want to see a really old picture of me in the back of somebody's car with a bunch of GIFs surrounding me, go to thekevinmiller.com.
Oh, good for you.
That's the one. That's what you meant. Oh, this
Shocker.
Is old school.
Yeah.
We haven't had a lot of those sounds.
Oh, that's right now, Justin. I told you to take your headphones off if you wanted to. Here's what you missed. Not that. You missed this.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. And we also played this.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I like that one.
Who's in the room with us?
Here in studio is...
In the living room.
Justin Imamura, who you may remember from episode two of the JK Show.
Back when he was married.
Oh, yes. Good for you.
Are you on mic?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Sorry.
Wait, you're not. No, what just happened? Is he not married?
No, he's still married. Why would you think that?
Yeah.
Because you just said back when he was married.
Yeah, and he's still married now. You assumed it.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to move on.
That's
because
one.
You helped me out a lot today.
Yeah, I did.
So that's going to give you at least 4 or 5 get out of jail free cards.
How did I help you out today?
Kevin watched Jacob.
And now cars.
while I went and fixed toilets.
Oh.
Literally, fixing toilets.
Do you think we're to the point in our friendship now where if I needed a pair of socks, I could just go into your bedroom and put them on?
I don't think now. I think before we were.
Okay, good, because I did it earlier before dinner.
I'm going to be honest, it bothers me.
Been waiting all night for that one.
That's hilarious.
Well, I apologize. I'll put your son back.
Well, we got... past. He watched Jacob. They had a good time. They watched a lot of movies. Kevin learned a little bit about parenting.
No, I watched the first act of several movies.
Listen, my son is a film connoisseur. Mm. He knows the best parts. Exposition, exposition, exposition.
You need to stop giving him fun bags of candy.
And why?
Because they're small and bite-sized. He needs to understand that he has to finish the whole candy bar.
Oh, yeah. So he goes king size. Then he develops patience.
Exactly.
So what you're saying is Ritalin is the
diabetes.
Ritalin is the wrong way to correct this ADD situation everybody's having. Mm-hmm. They just need to have elongated candy instead of fun size.
Because I remember being chastised as a child for having a poor attention span, and then something clicked in me. And now, if I don't finish a movie or a TV show or a long walk on the beach or painting an entire house.
You do all these things?
At the same time, I get bored. Thanks to the power of time travel.
Oh. I think Kevin wants to talk about our
situation. I'm going to go put up.
We do have a lot to cover in this. So,
let's find out what Justin's doing.
Mr. Schroeder sent us. So you don't know because it's literally been almost a year. I'm sorry. I went premature. No. It's been December of last year would have been a year. You're right, over a year, because we technically recorded episode 2, even though it didn't release until January. We recorded it in December. Did you just go turn off cars?
Yeah, just pause it.
No, turn it off.
Oh, that's okay.
All right.
I'll go turn it off.
No, I just don't want to burn an image in my $1,500 television.
It's a great image. Nader has his eyes shut. He's rolling with his best bud to be like
that's horrible.
The queen through
even
the
in
night.
A cartoon, an animated movie, there's the you still get the weird face pause.
That's how good animation.
You know what I mean? When you pause a movie and the actor's always in the middle of saying like the and you get it like is the look on their face like they just thought they developed a speech impediment all of a sudden. So anyway, I'm gonna say almost a year. No, because last December, yeah, over a year.
Yeah.
Whatever, shut up, Justin. Not you, me. Yeah, this is going to be confusing. So, you're on the show now. We do a little thing called Trivia Challenges.
It was almost 2 years ago.
I call them
in December.
I call them topics. Nice. Kevin calls them Trivia Challenges. The listeners don't care. So,
but they usually agree with me.
A wonderful listener by the name of Scott Schroeder, I believe is how he spans it. I don't know this guy. I've never. That's not true, actually.
You,
random stranger.
No, that's not true. You actually taught him improv and
can
then performed with him for years.
Develop a little bit of the magic that maybe there are random strangers
sure.
who listen to this and not just.
Then why don't you call him Scott S?
Scotty.
Didn't have an answer for that one, did you?
Nope.
Scooter? Skipper.
Scoochie is what I wanted to go.
Skipper. We used to call him Skipper, remember, when he was in classes?
No.
When he was learning how to referee.
Why was I Christopher Walken? No. I don't.
That I don't know. When he was learning how to referee or host the shows at Comedy Sports, he would come into the younger classes with the less experienced students, and he would run their shows, and so we were trying to teach him not get distracted easily.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this? And we would just sit off stage and go, Skipper!
Skipper, Skipper,
Skipper!
Which I don't know how that helps anybody. You can't...
Help me.
You can't treat Comedy Sports like it's a Navy SEAL training. Like, that's not that's
it
not
was
right.
good for him.
No, it wasn't.
It was good.
It was stupid.
No, it was
like,
good.
It was stupid in the way that walking around like an animal is stupid.
You know what?
That doesn't help
anyone. You've
moved
on from the craft.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've moved on.
And now I'm making money. Big surprise. More than what I was.
That's true.
Yeah, a lot more than what I was. Some would say 10 times what I was.
Well,
and I'm not trying to say this as a disparaging remark towards the money that I was making from Mr. Jeff Kramer. He did fantastic things for me. Paid for my engagement ring.
He doesn't
loan me the money.
Doesn't listen to this.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Stupid
Justin Amamora,
is...
do you fuck that guy?
God, sometimes.
Wow.
It's true. He's on board.
This is getting... It's getting deep. I think my pastor listens to the show.
You think? He's my nemesis. He has to listen.
No, he listens pretty regularly.
Oh.
He enjoyed the Shark Jesus riff a couple episodes ago.
I don't enjoy him calling it a riff. It's very serious. It's a movement, maybe, if you want to be slightly condescending.
Dear God.
But if you want to patronize Shark... listen, all I'm saying is, you listen to this, Joseph Barkley. If you are willing to incur the full wrath of Shark Jesus... then you just keep using your little riffy terms.
He didn't... Yeah, that was my word, riff. He did think that your compression sucks, though.
He did say my compression still sucks?
No.
It's not even a compressor anymore. It's a limiter. Hard limiter.
Oh, wow.
Like my penis.
Wow, that's... Please don't compare your penis to anything we're doing on the show.
Shark Jesus thinks everyone should talk more about their penises. Joseph Barkley now enjoys that because I turned it into a Shark Jesus riff. Can't help but enjoy my hard penis. Yeah, process that logic.
That logic is solid.
Like my cock.
Why is Justin on this show?
Because he's here and he's in town and we like him.
Absolutely. I just thought maybe we could talk to him a little since we're talking around him.
No, we're not talking around you, are we?
No.
I haven't made eye contact with him yet.
How is that on this show?
That's
and
fine.
Me?
Just saying.
He's having a good time.
He's
all
having
right.
a great
Do you
time.
Need a drink? You want some more booze?
I'll probably grab one in a second.
All right, okay. Yeah, all right, go for it.
I usually have to drink several.
So the topic... hate you. The topic this week,
the
or trivia
now?
Challenge, I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Early adopter.
Is time period. Travel. And so here's what we did, is Kevin came up with some great ideas to kind of break this into what I would call acts. My son is going to enjoy this first segment, then he's going to bail. But we're going to... I feel very light. I feel very happy. I want to thank you again for helping me get all this
You're
stuff
welcome.
Done.
I'm
I feel like there's
it.
No weight on my shoulders.
As
and I've got half
godfather,
a beer in me.
Yeah. I'm happy to oblige.
Kevin is very, very insistent on this godfather role.
Nice. I like that.
See? Thank you. Justin gets it.
He gets everything. Hold on a second. He hasn't
That's
said
true.
No to anything yet.
That's true.
Well, in fact, if we still had it out there, you could go back to episode 2. Probably never hear him say the word no.
That's probably true.
Except for if his lovely bride wants a baby, you're going to say no.
Definitely will say no. How for
long?
Right now.
For
How
right
long
now.
Have you been
right
singing
now.
That song? For like 5 years you've been
the
saying
song,
no.
The song's so plain. It's on a loop.
It's like that song that they play from the moon or whatever, trying to make contact with alien races. Exactly. It's just a record that plays again. Wow. I may be misquoting a Superman movie.
I'm pretty sure you are. Hey, in 60 seconds, uh-huh. convince Justin and Imamura, Justin Warsham, that he should have a baby. Ready? Go.
Don't do it.
55 seconds
destroys everything. 40? Destroys everything.
50 seconds.
Because here's what happens: you go into it going, "This is what I'm supposed to do, right? This is the way it's supposed to go,
right?"
And then what this child does is it takes this your beautiful wife. Your wife is a very lovely lady, right? Yep. And it's going to just destroy everything lovely about her. It's going to she's going to get huge and hormonal and emotional. Seconds. She's going to be needy.
Mm.
So much more needy than she is now. Like right yes. now, your wife is like a cat. You can leave and leave her at home alone with some right. food and she's going to be okay.
20 seconds.
Pregnancy turns her into a dog where you got to find somebody to watch her and be careful. And you know, you got to check in. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a bad move all around. Then the kid comes, right? Everything's great. And then you're just exhausted all the time. All the time. It takes your best friend to come over and watch him for 4 hours before you get any shit done.
Three.
Wow.
But other than that, it's awesome. I highly recommend it.
Nice.
Let's go to Justin Imamura. Will you have a baby now?
Not right now.
Not a very good salesman.
Not a very good salesman.
So Kevin had this idea where, and I like it. I like it a lot, where you were going to talk about some uses in time travel within television and movies.
Oh, okay. You want to start there?
No. I want to go through this first. But there was one other one that you said, one other kind of...
I have a quiz we can take.
Okay.
I found a little quiz online.
All right. Let's do that last.
Sure. And there's... I want to discuss the practicality of time travel.
That I want to do first because I have it on my website.
And then I'd love to talk about bad time travel through fiction.
Yes.
Where it didn't work and when and why things don't work in some science fiction.
I love all of these almost as much as I love you.
Likewise. Mm-hmm. Booba baby.
So here's what I did in my version of the homework is that Kevin had...
The homework!
You know, I do need drops.
I'm telling you, we could put this software on your computer.
There is one person in the Ustream chat room right now.
Mm. Oh, good for you.
Thank you, Nigger.
That's you person.
I think it's actually you.
No, it's not. I'm not. I keep forgetting now.
Ah, sweet.
Probably join
us in the chat room. Tell us what's going on.
Anyway.
Influence us.
My part of the homework was to figure out, was it actually possible? And then like the first thing I hit, I thought was incredibly interesting.
Then I burst that bubble.
No.
A little.
Nah,
well,
not
read
for me.
It, and I'll burst it again.
Okay. Today we know that time travel need not... Oh, this is also from PBS.org from their Nova... there's a lot going on here. Their Nova show, which is like a science show.
Here's the
full URL. This is amusing to me. www.pbs.org/WGBH, which I'm assuming is a specific network.
Yeah. PBS, /Nova/time/through.html. I get it all except for through.
Yeah.
I love that. So it says time travel is possible. Today we know that time travel need not be confined to myths, science fiction, Hollywood movies, or even speculation by theoretical physicists.
I really like how fiction and Hollywood movies are separate departments, but let's go on.
Well, sometimes Hollywood movies are based on reality.
Especially the ones about time travel.
We'll get into the movies later. I'll fight that fight later. And I'm bringing Shark Jesus to the table.
Dun, 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 dun.
Time travel, why have we not made a t-shirt with a shark wearing a crown, a thorn crown?
I think my face says why.
What? Is that offensive? I was trying to combine our religions.
Yeah. Oh,
shark God, Jesus was actually not crucified.
Oh my gosh.
He was
caught.
His fin was cut off for sad. Soup yeah. by Japanese.
Did he rise after 3 days of swimming in nowhere?
No.
Did his fin return?
No,
then he's
really.
Not a real messiah to
no,
the shark people.
Let me finish.
Okay.
In the fish world, when you rise, you die. He swam deeper to show he was alive. He went down.
Did he return to the shark pools and preach the word? Did other dead sharks arrive when his fin was cut off?
Other dead sharks?
Yeah, that's what happened. When Jesus was killed, at the final moment when he died, dead people were walking all over the town where it happened.
Dead people? Just like zombies?
No.
28 days later?
Dead people came back to life and were walking around town. It's in the Bible. The curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom.
How come this wasn't in that Passion of the Christ film?
It was. They briefly like glimpse at it just to confuse you.
I would have loved some zombies around.
Well, they didn't want to make. They didn't want people like you to be like sweet zombies. But the point was,
I mean, why wouldn't they bring them in? However you could get them. That's what Shark Jesus says.
Busy yelling at Jewish people in the future.
About how the Holocaust wasn't real. Damn you, Gibson. He's like, I'll be back to offend black people soon.
Yeah, that's true. That all happened. Hey, Rion.
All right. Here's where it says, time travel is possible. For example, an object traveling at high speeds ages more slowly than a stationary object. Now, my first thought was, okay, so a rock is aging faster than a baseball. Not the point.
Yeah, no.
This means that if you were to travel...
Well, it has to go at light speeds. Just traveling doesn't mean anything.
If you were to travel into our outer space and return moving close to light speed, you could travel thousands of years into the Earth's future.
Yeah, see, that... I mean...
This is where you try to burst the bubble.
Well, the point about... the word travel is just misused there. Because the travel also suggests that you can return, which there are no ways to return... I mean, this was the whole premise of Flight of the Navigator back in, 86.
Don't you jump out of our segment that we're in right now.
Okay, then I'll keep it to where you say. To travel somewhere.
I love how I raised a pimp hand. Nobody can see that. That wasn't meant to be, but I was like, I saw the palm of my hand.
Justin sweat.
You were intimidated, weren't you, Justin?
I was a little nervous.
All right.
If you were going to travel to Berkeley from Los Angeles, you would travel there and travel back. That would be your trip that you were going to make. If you were to travel, in quotes, into the future, all you're doing is going faster than the rest of us into the future. And then you're there.
But not aging fast.
But see, it's irrelevant because to you, it would be the same amount of time. It'd just be that from your perspective, if you were to travel into the future,
if I had the opportunity to travel thousands of years into the future, I would take it.
You could.
Here's what I'm saying. You've never booked a one-way trip?
No, I haven't.
Not on an airplane?
Not without another car or something getting me back. I don't know.
I'm sorry, then. There's a return trip in this plan, though. You go, and then you come back in order to enjoy Earth 1,000 years in the future.
How was that?
I'm just saying it's technically travel, because if you go to Expedia.com, you could book a one-way trip.
That's what I'm saying. It's not travel. All you're doing is changing the rate of time.
What does one go to Expedia.com for?
Speed. It's called Expedia.
No. Okay, what does one... I'll make it easier. What does one go to Travelocity.com for?
Osity. It's fast.
Got a lot of problems. What does one go to orbits?
Oh, they for time travel.
Bingo. Suck it, Miller. Point made. Moving on. Newton's most important contribution to science was his mathematical definition of how motion changes with time.
That's a rather condescending comment. You can just sum up all of Newton's contributions. And
it said that it was the most important contribution.
Says who? Cite a reference, PBS.
They're citing themselves.
Exactly.
Well, by you saying there's another more important one, you're citing yourself.
I'm just saying you can't just say things like, that's poor journalism.
Huh?
Who says it's the most important reference? The most important...
In the context of time travel...
That's not what they said.
But it's implied on the word through is in the web URL.
Fair enough. It is PBS. Go on.
And time. Through
what
time.
What does PBS stand for?
Public Broadcast System. You thought, though.
Yeah.
You thought.
I did.
I thought you had it right because you said it fast.
Public Broadcasting Society.
Anybody else? Come on.
Public Broadcasting.
No. Yes.
Stupid.
Service.
Service.
Because it's not a system like a network or anything. They actually offer a service to local stations.
And is there service involving time travel?
No.
Then why are we talking about it?
Just trying to give... Trivia.
If there's one thing I bring to this, it's focus and a direction.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, his most important contribution to science besides the service of...
One. Hey, do you have any goats around here?
Goats? No, why would we have goats?
I see. You're off topic.
How dare you? I played along.
I know. I can feel it. Earlier today, your son was fixing stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not going to talk about it, though.
You sure?
Not unless the trivia challenges. What did your son do today?
He was so cute, though, how he helped you.
He showed that look, it's going to talk about Star Wars. He showed that the force causing apples to fall in the same is the same force that drives planetary motions and produces tides. However, Newton was puzzled by the fact that gravity seemed to operate instantaneously at a distance He admitted he could only describe it without understanding how it worked. Not until Einstein's general theory of relativity was gravity changed from a force to the movement of matter along the shortest space in a curved space-time. The sun bends space-time, and space-time tells planets how to move. For Newton, both space and time were absolute. Space was a fixed, infinite, unmoving metric against which absolute motions could be measured. Newton also believed the universe was pervaded by a single absolute time that could be symbolized by an imaginary clock off somewhere in space. Like there's just a floating Big Ben. Einstein changed all this with his relativity theories and once wrote, "Newton, forgive me."
Oh, that's fascinating.
Einstein's first major contribution to the study of time occurred when he revolutionized physics with his special theory of relativity by showing how time changes with motion. I wish they would break that down. His concept is the idea is that if you're traveling faster than light, then technically you're traveling faster than time because we reference time based on light. Am I right on that?
Yep. That's smart. Well surmised. Wow.
Today, scientists do not see problems of time or motion as absolute with a single correct answer because time is relative to the speed one is traveling at. There can never be a clock at the center of the universe to which everyone can set their watches. Your entire life is the blink of an eye to an alien traveling close to the speed of light. Today, Newtonian mechanics have become a special case within Einstein's theory of relativity. Einstein's relativity will eventually become a subset of a new science, more comprehensive in its description of the fabric of our universe. The word relativity derives from the fact that the appearance of the world depends on our state of motion. It is relative. So to me, what that is saying is that just like it's as simple as like a day on Earth is not the same as a day on Mars because they travel at different rates in their rotation.
Yeah, and that, but see, that's still through the lens of a human.
Yeah, so that's how we would define a day and
exactly.
a year.
Yeah. So my question is, which I assume that we're at ground zero in terms of time, that you can't actually go slower than what we experience now.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's my question. I'm not very familiar with
it. So you're saying our perception of time technically could be a constant, but how we define it is different.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you're saying.
So I'm saying that while there isn't a clock in the center of the universe, but this is as slow as it gets.
Yeah.
That's what I'm gathering from this, and it only goes faster.
Let me see if maybe this will explain. It says, we are a moment in astronomic time, a transient guest of the Earth. Our wet, wrinkled brains do not allow us to comprehend many mysteries of time and space. Our brains evolved to make us run from saber-toothed cats.
Oh, here we go.
And the American savannah. On the American savannah, sorry. We're also running. Ah, habitat! to hunt deer and to efficiently scavenge from the kills of large carnivores. Despite our mental limitations, we have come remarkably far. We have managed to pull back the cosmic curtains, a crack to let in light. Questions raised by physicists from Newton to Kurt Gödel. Or Gödel? Gödel? Google? To Einstein, to Stephen Hawking, are among the most profound we can ask. Is time real? Does it flow in one direction only? Does it have a beginning or an end? What is eternity? None of these questions can be answered to scientists' satisfaction, yet the mere asking of these questions stretches our minds, and the continual search for answers provides useful insights along the way. So what you're saying in the middle of that is that as a person of the Christian faith, you laugh at this idea of that our minds are evolved to run away from saber-toothed cats.
No, I just find it insulting on a political level. On a spiritual level, it's irrelevant to me. But I think that
what do you mean a political level?
Well, it's an unnecessary jab. It's an unnecessary trying to force something into fact that is still in dispute. In fact, by what they're claiming that we don't, their whole article goes on to say that we don't understand the universe, and we don't understand that. So to say there is no definite proof that man evolved from one thing or another, and it is a matter of faith, the theory that they're using to base their understanding of how we got to be where we are is the theory of uniformism, which is a theory that says that the universe behaves the same way it does now as it always has. But they have no proof of that. And yet, so in the middle of this article by PBS, they can drop this thing that clearly flies in the face of anything that a creationalist would believe. You're the one that's drinking, and I can't speak. I'm Pepsi Max.
That shit's got a kick to it, bro.
Yeah. It's all the saccharin taking the...
It's the caffeine is helping you out a lot.
It's good. Maybe I should start drinking.
It's caffeine to the max.
Why can't we be
It's a great commercial.
Great commercial.
Fuck you, Coca-Cola. Fuck you.
Does that make sense? Do I answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. You're saying, because that's when I read that, when you said that, I was like, I wish that I would have taken the time to look up what would be a creationist perspective.
All of that's
fine.
I just think it's an unnecessary addition. If you just said, we have a limited understanding of the universe around us.
I see what you're saying.
Our wet, wrinkled brains don't have the capability of... I agree. But then to say the reason why we don't understand it, we've come a long way.
To come from a... So to say that all of this stuff is very, I guess, could be accepted by both thoughts or perspectives.
It's undeniable.
And then when you throw that little in, that little bit in, then it's like, well, we lean more to this side. Just a heads up. Heads up before we leave.
Yeah.
We don't believe in religion.
Because I would believe, you know, it's something a buddy of mine were actually discussing recently about time travel and whether or not it's something that God would ever grant us as a people. And probably not, but don't know. But that's, you know, that's one of the mysteries of the whole thing and life of itself. And what I believe the whole point that God leaves these mysteries up is to give us the opportunity to think about them and imagine them and to speculate and wonder.
I know that we're called the Second Funniest Podcast, but this makes me also think that...
We should kill someone.
Right?
There's two of us here. Justin, let's kill Justin.
There can only be one Justin.
Sounds good.
I'm going to make...
He figured it out.
I missed that entirely until just now. He said, sounds good. I still was on the board with accepting Justin. He's like, okay, I guess I got to die. I'm a narcissist asshole. Because here's my thing is that I wonder if say, all of a sudden, Virgin Airlines has a flight to go back in time. Okay.
Yep.
Now, I would imagine that a person of faith would want to go, even a lot of people who aren't of faith that are maybe battling with their beliefs or whatever, would probably want to go back to the time of Jesus. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Don't you think that would want to be your first stop?
Yeah.
But then that also creates this issue that all of a sudden you have this influx of people that are popping up before they're supposed to. And now they're there having the awareness and knowledge of the future. And then they're meeting their God. You know what I mean? Like that's a crazy thing to wrap your little saber-tooth running mind around.
Yeah.
Sorry. And at the same time, like if it does happen, I would imagine at a certain point it's going to be commercialized. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm getting pothead about this.
Yeah. That's the point is that the actual idea of latching on to time, to find the physics of time and to do something about it is as unapproachable as honestly being able to read another person's mind or to explore the afterlife. Like, these are frontiers that are just beyond our complete understanding of how to even begin. You want to fly? We can look at that. You can study it and be like, okay, I understand the physics of what it's going to take to fly. You want to travel through time? You got nothing to work with. You're like, I don't know what the water is.
Well,
to
I
sail.
Think our bar that we use for time travel is what we see in movies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I'm looking at it that if we're going to go back and we're all going to be around the time that Jesus was walking around on the planet, right?
Yeah.
That it's going to be like, well, we all have to, let's get the garb on. We're going to just blend in. We're going to live by the prime directive of not interfering with these.
Yeah. See, I don't see that. I don't see that working.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like, so it'd have to be some kind of, that means that it couldn't happen to the public.
Or it could be like a camera shot in the past. Like you could pick up, what if it,
like a webcam?
Better. What if time has a frequency, like a radio station, and you can physically dial into a time in space's history and then be able to view it, but you're not actually there. You're just picking up the signal of what happened in that moment in time. So you can watch it on a screen. You're not interfering. And this way all crimes are solved because you just dial back in time. Dude, this movie writes itself. Turn this off.
This is why Schroeder wanted us to talk about this. We're going to write a script for his ass.
Yeah, we've lost our one viewer in the view stream. Sorry, buddy.
They come and they go.
You worry too much
about who's not watching this. We have a lot of people who listen to it on demand.
Yeah.
And that's the future, early adopter. You know what this is all about.
No, this is the future. That's
really
my point.
You stream? No. Yeah. Oh,
are you streaming it right now live on?
Yeah, we're live on the internet.
How are you listening to it?
I know, but I thought you were recording it and then do it next week.
Well, we do that. See, well, here's what.
Yeah.
This right here is going to take the show, and then I'm going to put it out on a podcast.
Got it.
That right there is putting it out on the intranet nice. That people can
so
listen
to. It's a competition between
And then
us.
Kevin puts out a thing on my Twitter and my Facebook,
oh, cool.
and I think he does it on his, too, yeah. saying, hey, if you want to listen to the show,
should do that.
Now's what's the time to do it.
What's the URL?
It's under Ustream. You can find it there.
Yeah,
Ustream.com.
I think, no, it's Ustream.tv/channels/Justin-Worsham-podcast. It's very easy to find.
I got to write that down.
Yeah.
We're so, getting one of my favorite questions whenever I list on Facebook that we're on the second funniest podcast. Inevitably, somebody always asks, what's the first funniest? To which I always say, the second funniest podcast.
Right? Hello.
Yeah. So, especially Justin, now. What do you think of that? Where'd he go?
Holy crap, he traveled in time. He figured it out. That son of a bitch.
Chichuan?
What's he getting? Oh, he's getting his phone. He's going to tweet it, I think. You're going to tweet it.
Sweet.
All right, so let's move on then. I feel like we've discussed the idea of it being...
I think that this is really relevant because, or just a good point to tap on, because I think of this all the time, this concept of really being able to grapple with new sciences that I think our imaginations have just sort of decided that we can do these things, like read people's minds or do telekinetics and all this stuff.
That stuff's fake.
Exactly. That's my point. And when you really...
Time travel real.
You think?
Nova tells me.
Okay. That's not time... Whatever. If there was an article in there and then said they figured out a way to go backwards, I would stand corrected. But there is no way to go backwards.
Well, when Superman shows up... And he flies the opposite direction of the rotation of the planet.
Let's segue into my section, badly written time travel scripts.
Okay.
Superman. I'm sure this has been said scores of times before. Superman, if you fly the Earth into a backwards orbit, you're just going to destroy the planet. You're going to spin it off its axis and everything's going to...
Well, if you watch it, though, because I understand what you're saying, that the idea that they tell you in every high school physics class is that if the Earth's rotation suddenly were to stop, that means us and everything on it would continue to travel at like 5,000 miles per hour.
If it suddenly stopped, yes.
But if you watch in the movie, it's slowly. Slows the whole thing. He's Superman.
Then,
he knows what he's doing.
But see, that's what I'm saying.
And then he starts backpedaling it backwards.
Do you understand how many things are using the Earth's rotation? It's not like a gradual stop. I mean, we would all die from the shift in... This thing has been going at this rate, this circle.
But I find
motion.
It hard to believe that if it was spinning the opposite direction, all of a sudden it would just kill us. Maybe this is what happened to the dinosaurs?
It's a shift so fast. I mean, it takes on the screen...
He slows it down.
No, he does it in
and then
4 seconds.
He's Superman.
No, I'm telling you now, he would kill us all. It would kill us all. The simple fact, you for your entire life have lived on a planet that has gone at this rate, at this speed, with everything around you doing this thing.
Most of my life.
The water.
You don't know where I'm from.
The atmosphere, all the animals. If that even slowed down, it would jack everything up. This delicate ecosystem would crush in on itself, and the whole planet, everything living would die.
So you're saying he risked the whole planet for... Why did he do that? I forgot.
Because somehow it was to stop a nuclear attack. And then somehow that makes us go back in time. I mean, it's such a childish understanding of time.
And then where does he go, though? There was two of him?
Exactly. Where was he at if he goes back in time 2 days or 3 days?
Because they didn't address that in the movie.
Makes me so mad. You know who does have
makes
time travel, right?
Makes happy.
the
Russians? They better not. If it's the Russians.
No. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
They did it right.
They did get time travel right, which is shocking.
Yeah.
There's one more thing about the reality that I wanted to bring up that I thought was interesting is that if it did happen, the idea that you would suddenly appear, say, 400 years in the past could technically cause like a tidal wave in another place because of the ripple effect. So you in a nanosecond are displacing the amount of air that it takes for your body to be there, and that ripple effect could cause it to like just blow and dissipate and go nuts.
This is the problem then, because
that's what I'm saying is that's why Superman did it right by flying backward.
Goodness. By virtue of shifting the timeline, you have removed yourself from the present. Put yourself in the past, thus changing the present, and that it just creates this paradoxical loop that is immovable. You know who else had it right? The Wayback Machine.
How did Bill and Ted do it right, though?
Oh, okay. So their understanding of time was that you could exist in the same place at the same time. We saw that.
Yeah.
And at the end, and there, because it's always the third act of these time travel movies where things tend to fall apart. The last scene where they figured things out that they could use time on their behalf. So they had that clock, or they
because they're at the concert and they're like, no. Oh, we should go back and learn how to play instruments.
Exactly. So they do. They go back and learn how to play instruments, and at the end they return to where they started, and they don't get in their own way to make everything happen. They pick up where they left
off. I don't know if this is in one or two, but my favorite time travel moment of all time within movies was in Bill and Ted when they said, okay, how are we going to get through this? And then they go, oh, I know. Here's what we'll do. After this is all done, we'll go back in time and put a trash can right here.
Exactly.
And then do the keys.
What I love is that those stoner dudes remembered to do all those things they said. That was the impressive part.
And the fact that instantaneously that stuff would just appear.
But see, that it wasn't.
But it also creates
there.
An issue where that removes any obstacle you can ever have in these
but
guys'
see, way. That's that it wasn't appearing there. It had been there the whole time. Because in the beginning of the movie, they start by the dad saying, where the hell are my keys? So these actions had already happened. They had already gone into the past, stolen the keys, and hid them. It's not twist off. You got to stop trying to untwist these beers.
No, it's okay. Now, I love how we have him on the show. Now I feel bad. Now your whole point at the beginning of me not talking enough to him.
Yeah.
Now he's getting up and he's getting us beers.
He wanted a drink. That's
next
why
week,
he's here.
Next week, he's gonna be a predominant presence on the show. If you have thoughts on time travel, then jump on in at any time, Justin. What? Hold on. Now he's coming back. What were you going to say? You have to talk into
Where's
the mic.
Where's your bottle?
To the top left drawer next to the dishwasher. I'm sorry.
So that was the whole point, is that they
had kept it through the story.
They kept it was always happening, like from the beginning of the movie throughout the events of the end of the movie had already happened. Appropriate time travel, as far as we can understand.
What about and tell me if I'm
from a cause and effect point of view, not from a physical. A reality point of view. Go on.
Thank you for being. I just like that you explained it.
I don't want some physics major to come calling.
Pretty sure
me
they
how
don't listen.
I am.
Pretty sure they don't listen.
Yeah, well,
but they could one day. Weirdly enough, podcasts do travel in time.
That's
they are endless.
That's right.
Until they hit like 36 episodes, I think is as far as back. No, it doesn't. But anyway, here's my point. What about when Star Trek traveled back to the 80s to say humpback whales?
Oh yeah.
How did that happen?
They did the same thing. They take a slingshot around the sun. Mm-hmm. So let's take it from that element. I don't know. I don't know how warp technology works. We'll say yeah. But
really?
But here's the thing.
Really, the fanboy gives his series a get out of jail free card?
For the sake of every story ever, if all you had to do was make a slingshot around the sun to go back in time, you think you would have done that all the time.
Yeah.
And furthermore, on Star Trek Enterprise, we saw later that in the 29th century, or maybe it's the 31st century.
Nope. Get it right.
29th century.
Check your facts.
The
physicists are calling.
the Federation's time police patrolled the entire timeline. So they would have seen that Kirk was doing that and been like, no, sorry, you can't. You can't travel through time. They would have busted them.
Oh, they would have come in and said, hey.
Yeah, because in the 29th century, there's a whole fleet
of people.
Or
do you think they look at it and they go, well, we know how it turned out with the whole whale thing.
It's possible.
So they let it slide.
And they're like, well, it's part of our timeline now. It's so arrogant, these time cops, because they're saying that the way their reality is the appropriate one. Who's to say that some time traveler's variation of your reality isn't the appropriate one? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Justin is shaking his head. What did I just say?
There's some stuff that you said.
Man, you came in on a tough show.
I know.
Usually we're over here talking about all sorts of stupid
stuff. I'm just hanging
out,
getting you guys drinks.
Last week we talked about Magic the Gathering. You could have been all over that. Yeah.
There's some guys at the Halloween Haunt that play Magic the Gathering.
Nice.
And it made me think of you guys.
Nice. Did you play with them?
I was talking about summoning things. Yeah. And I said, hey, I know about summoning certain powers with the spells.
Nice.
and whatever you call
it. Even
them.
Your wife played with us.
She did. Yeah, I think we still have the cards.
Yeah, but you wouldn't get
hold
it
on. Your wife is if your wife is playing at some point, I would have to make, like, if Natalie played Magic the Gathering, I would have to make some kind of reference to tapping that mana ass.
Oh, yeah.
I tapped that mana ass to attack that pussy. That's what I say.
Summer probably did.
I tapped two cheeks to attack that pussy. I said it loud so she can hear. And the neighbors. Whoops.
Aren't you the property manager?
Yeah, fuck them and their karaoke nights, you stereotypical fucking Filipinos.
Are they Filipinos?
They listen.
I make everybody in the building
kidding?
Listen.
Who, you tell me one round eye that's having a karaoke party at his house as her thing? Not as a novelty, but as the thing to do in a party.
Like college kids. Rock band is the way to go.
It's not karaoke.
Yeah, you're right.
They're doing full-blown karaoke.
10 years ago, yes.
Okay.
Pretty common.
When the technology was new.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So let's go back to your crappy movie. So hold on. Is there any other good one besides Bill and Ted?
Good time travel movies. Time Traveler's Wife?
No.
That was horrible.
I felt like the concept. Here's what's wrong with my brain is that I look at something like that and I like the idea of this guy falling in love. But I can't get away from the fact that I'm like, dude, the guy's kind of hitting on his daughter when she's eight. Inappropriate. What we talked about when we did the Twilight thing, where it's like the guy's 500 years old and trying to bone a 17-year-old. Yeah. That's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Inappropriate.
Who else did it wrong? Oh, who else does it right? Chrono Trigger, the classic Nintendo game.
Okay.
Dude, one of the best RPGs. Do you remember this
game? Is that NES?
Yeah, NES game. Chrono Trigger, in which you're... I can't remember the boy. Oh, you get to name the kid, whoever. He's a little anime redheaded spiky guy. And he discovers a time-traveling device, and you actually go... The map of the world is the same throughout the game, and then you change timelines. You go way into the future or way into the past, and as you develop within the game, it changes the world and it'll change history around you as well. So if you go into the past, have this big battle, and then this dark obelisk begins hovering over the planet, you go back to the present and people are like, oh, look, the dark obelisk is hanging and tomorrow will be a beautiful day as well because it's a part of their reality.
Oh.
And you have this android character, and then you take him into the past and drop him off, and he tills the fields for 100 years, and then you instantly go back to the present. And
this is a Nintendo game?
Wow.
It is an amazing Nintendo game. Classic gamers will back me up. This is one of the... I can't believe they haven't done more.
Most of our listeners probably were not alive when that game was
happening. It was late 80s. Chrono Trigger, I think, was like 89. Mm-hmm. I'll dig this up.
What I'm saying is most of our listeners were probably 3 or 4. That's what I'm saying.
I thought they came out with it on like...
I'm sure that they've revamped it for the DS. I see it. They've got it on the DS.
Got it. Oh, okay.
It was Nintendo. Yeah. It was on the Nintendo in 95, real late in the game. I was wrong. It's a big game. It's a very big game.
And it was on SNES.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, I never heard of it.
Got it.
I didn't play those kind of RPG, I didn't play role playing games. That's
It's an RPG. Mm-hmm. But solid game. And the time travel's fun.
So now let's talk about, because we're getting tight on time.
Oh, wow.
Let's talk about movies that did it wrong.
The worst was, what was the worst?
Here's the one that, from yours and my relationship, the one movie that you've always complained about the time travel aspect of it was the reimagination of Lost in Space.
Oh, my gosh, it was so bad. I pushed it up. That movie's 10 years old, though.
Now, just for the listener, this, or the nerd, as we call you, you have to understand that when we were Star Trek characters and we were in a makeup room and
sentence you hear a lot.
Yeah. we would have a lot of time to talk. And I'm not kidding.
Well,
for a good 3 months, a good 3 months, all it was you guys complaining about how Lost in Space was a horrible, it was a great movie right up until the end, I think is what it's, or was it?
Yeah,
it was either the end or out of the box.
No, there was something that happened towards the end where the events that happened in the future were directly in contradiction to the events that happened in the past or something. Like we're seeing a character like remember things that are happening to the younger version of him as they're happening to him. I mean, there's just
while they're traveling through time,
while they're in the future. I think they show up in the future and the young people are there with their that's what happens is that in the future there's one timeline where they find themselves one of the a doctor the doctor and the boy has grown up and they're all alone. But the young boy is having a conversation with him, his future self, and the young boy is discovering things that the older boy, him as an adult, doesn't get yet. And it didn't make any sense at all.
Wow.
I remember being so angry.
No, that's the part that makes me remember this so much is that literally it was months this would be taught. Like, I just remember that all I'd have to do was mention the movie.
Yeah, or the your, paradox.
And your nerd rage would kick. And not your. I don't mean you specifically.
Yeah, no.
It was you, but it was you and David and Chris.
Yeah.
That would just go fucking apeshit bananas about this.
Yeah.
Like, oh my
That's
God, don't
funny.
Even get me going. It was such a good movie until the last 15 minutes, and then they screwed
oh,
everything
man.
Up.
I need to watch
no
it. I haven't
reason.
Seen it since then. I should definitely pop it in again. Because you know what other movie did that? Surprise, surprise. Back to the Future 3. Had this really weird.
So hold on, you're okay with time travel from Back to the Futures 1 and 2?
Am I okay with Back to the Future 1? Back to the Future 1, I'm okay with. That time travel seems pretty solid. Made a lot of sense. Back to the Future 2, the time travel seems a little like they made kind of a dramatic choice to go back in time when they did, especially since Doc Brown clearly had been all over time because he had currency from everywhere. It seems like there were probably some better options, but we'll. We'll lay that on character.
But you're not talking about time travel. You're just talking about pure story aspect.
Yeah, that's
of
like
it.
The story aspect of like maybe not. But in
Back
the third...
to the Future 2 is the one where Biff steals the time machine and goes into the future and buys a sports almanac.
No, he's in the future. They show up in their time
machine. Oh, he goes back in time and gives it
to
himself.
He recognizes the time what a time machine is somehow. And then because it's a flying car, he must realize that it's a time machine. But then it doesn't answer the questions of where were Marty and Doc for those 30 years between that point in time. But that's okay. That's neither here nor there. Now, in the deleted scenes of Back to the Future 2, in the present day or in the future version of in 2015 when Biff comes out of the car, he accidentally erases himself from time. And he starts to disappear. If you watch the deleted scenes, they're trying to say that, you know, because he made this choice way in the past, he eliminates
that
himself.
That loser Biff doesn't exist.
Yeah, and then... And
there's a new Biff that's that's in charge of everything.
And they were trying to... If you watch the commentary, they were trying to say he probably was shot somewhere in the 1990s by his family or something. So in the year 2015, he doesn't exist. But really, if they were to do it right and he changed all of time, we should have seen everything fade and change because that was the convention. So really, in Back to the Future 1, the idea of Marty McFly fading out of reality kind of has a problem because then how
while playing the guitar?
Yeah, because then how did he get there? How did he get there to...
and the guitar, how did that get there?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, but in Back to the Future 3, even if you accept somehow the story, and because I've never time traveled in the past, maybe that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
poor Doc Brown in 1955 is just sent back Marty McFly to 1985. Mm-hmm. And then around the corner comes Marty McFly and tells him, you've got to send me... I'm back from the future. And then Doc Brown collapses and wakes up the next morning in Back to the Future 3. And I was watching Howdy Doody. Uh-huh. He's trying to piece it all together. And so they realize they have to send Marty McFly back in time to 1885. Let alone because they realize Doc Brown is going to die a few days after writing the letter to him that he wrote. Mm. So... Again, story elements, why this freaked them out, I don't know, because he certainly wasn't going to live to be 150. He had to die at some point. For some reason, the fact that he wrote a letter and then was shot 8 days later scared the hell out of them, and they weren't willing to do it. So when did they decide to go back in time? 8 days, like the day after he writes the letter. Why not show up the moment the accident happened? That's okay. Story elements, let's not fight it. But where the issue is that in 1955... Doc Brown tells Marty, okay, you need to wear this ugly outfit, this little pink 1955 cowboy suit, and go travel through time. So then he does, and he travels through time, and then shows up in 1885, remembering that this is the 30-year-older version of the 1955 Doc Brown. So Doc Brown, circa 1985, living in 1885, asks Marty McFly, who dressed you like this? But it's him. He did it 30 years earlier. Did he forget? Why couldn't he remember?
This I see what you're saying. So before he went back to the West, he knew he had to send him back to 1885.
He grew up and had all the adventures in the first two movies with Marty and then got shot back into time.
Right.
And then for some reason forgot that one moment 30 years ago.
Wow. He's getting old. He's 30 years older. Maybe he gets a little senile.
Yeah. But then he's also surprised to see Marty there and doesn't remember the fact that he learned he was going to die in 8 days and doesn't do anything about that. It hurts my brain. Am I the only one that has this reaction to this
sort
of thing?
But what entertains me is that the only real issue that I have is that the train time travel. That was my problem.
Yeah,
I was like, but you have this whole thing. It's like, you knew. Yeah, like, yeah, I just imagine, I imagine a 20-something-year-old, or no, this is probably a teenage Kevin Miller watching this movie.
Younger than that. 1985, I was, whatever, seven. And then, so
is 1985 when the third one came out?
No, 1990. They both came out in 1990.
Two and three?
Yep, two and three back to back. And oh, wow. I was stoked. I mean, I probably saw Back to the Future.
So you're 11.
One. In like 86, probably at the same time I saw Goonies, and these movies were the cornerstone of my existence. That and like Labyrinth and Flight of the Navigator, which is another time travel movie.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it. We're going to work out a lot of your issues tonight.
So when we get to 1990, and I was probably 11 or 12, I think it was in the sixth grade, and those movies came out, my mind was blown. And I remember coming home from the movie and trying to ask my dad the paradox that I saw. And my dad going, I don't understand. And I go, okay, Dad, I had to explain it to him. I'm like, okay, because I had a problem with the fact that they were freaking out that he was dead in the past. I was like, why did they get upset? If you were to travel back in time with a wind-up clock, bury it in the ground, and then wait 30 years later and unbury it, the clock would stop. So why are they upset? And they'd be like, well, they couldn't answer. They didn't understand my question. I was 12! My favorite movie as a kid? One of my favorite movies as a kid? The Time Machine by H.G. Wells.
What?
Yeah, wow. Who didn't see that coming?
The one with that guy who was in the one movie with the thing with the stuff?
That is really, really specific.
No, not the new one that just came out a while ago, because you hate that one.
Oh, that one wasn't too bad. Oh. It was pretty bad, but it wasn't too bad. It was all environmental friendly. Yeah. Did you see any of these movies, Justin?
It's all Back to the Future. That's about it.
Okay, now here's the thing.
I
have to preface this by proclaiming my love for Kevin Miller.
No, you don't have to. I'm off my soapbox.
No, it's not a soapbox. Because here's the thing. It's just funny to me to hear this idea of you coming home at 11 years old and asking your parents to explain to you the paradoxical nature of Back to the Future 2
and 3. Which they couldn't do.
And why would they be able to, Kevin?
I can. If my son asked me that, I'd be able to discuss it with him.
But you couldn't at 11, and this is what I'm saying, though.
No,
your parents had different lives than
you. But see, I was complaining about it, saying this is an issue with the film, and they were trying to tell me that I was wrong. They were like, no.
Well, they're saying because you don't understand. Here's what they're saying.
They're playing a parent card on.
Yes. Yeah. Well, though, what they're doing is they're saying you're missing the point. They probably are having some level of concern for your mental health because they're
I was a freaking genius and they wouldn't pay attention.
Exactly. That's why they're worried. These are the kind of people that start killing small woodland creatures and then move on to Ladies of the Night. And then
nobody needs
those imagine the day and just the sigh of relief that your parents had the day you came home and started wanting to talk to them about the Bible. They're like, oh, thank God. Thank God. As long as it's not like, look at this squirrel I managed to dress with a toothpick.
No, I know you're kidding, because we all know that in my family, my parents were bikers and they would disappear for weekends. They would leave us in the custody of something.
And
they'd come back. Yeah, pretty much.
They're like, what? It's a collie. They're the smartest dogs ever.
Technically an Australian Shepherd is dead.
Shut up, Kevin.
My child. And so my way of acting rebellion.
Don't forget to feed your babysitter.
My brother figured it out when he was 19 or 18. He's like, Mom, we want to have a mom and dad. We want to have a get drunk New Year's Eve party. Cool. Everybody drop your keys in this bowl. Have a good time, kids. We'll buy your liquor for you.
It was all teenagers.
Wow. Me, I rebel by going to Christ, visiting churches, being an upstanding member of society. Oh, wow. I didn't have a drop of liquor until I was 21 with my parents at a like steak restaurant's bar. And I had the girliest, frou-frou-iest, milkshakiest Kahlua
drink. Not even a sip of beer.
No. I had probably maybe a sip of beer. I can't, but the first drink where I had.
Were you
top
like,
to bottom,
I'm going
to
drink for the purpose mine. Of
it
drinking.
Was a milkshake with some rum in it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
At 21. And I remember sitting there going, what have I done?
Well, I remember, here's my point, is that I have two people sitting before me, all right? I feel it's funny, and I'm afraid I don't feel like bad because I know that you know that I love you, but I'm afraid of how it's going to look to the listeners.
Yeah.
But the thought that popped into my mind is that I was like, this is how you have a 32-year-old Christian virgin is that you...
Not anymore, buddy.
I know.
Okay. I know. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm saying a kid who's banging like crazy, right?
Yeah, my wife.
Yeah.
in holy matrimony.
And no paradoxical nature of your sex life?
Yeah, well, because I've done it and then I do it again. I didn't do it before I did it.
Right? So at 11 years old, right? Now, you said you saw... Now, you're a little bit younger than us, yeah. Right? Like three years?
28.
28. Okay, yeah. So you're 4 years younger
yeah.
than Kevin.
We were in high school together. Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you came home from Back to Future 3,
yeah.
What did you think?
Did you see it?
Yeah, I definitely saw it. Yeah,
do you remember what you thought?
I definitely just thought.
Did you have any issues with the paradoxical nature?
No issues.
You probably went away and go, it was so cool.
I was like, oh, I got to play guitar, man.
He doesn't even play a guitar in that movie.
I don't. In Back to Future, what was it?
One.
First one and two. Yeah. Yeah. So, but at the same time, though, because here's what I did. I walked away from that movie.
Pretty sweet. Yeah.
I walked away from that movie thinking, wow, it's pretty cool how they went back in time to the Old West and got to live in the Old West, you know, being who they are, you know what I mean? Or, wow, it's pretty cool how they have hoverboards.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Don't get me wrong. When Marty McFly walks down that alley and breathes under his breath, the future.
Yeah.
That is still one of my favorite movie moments of cinema history. Because I remember as a kid just being like, the unknown is at the end of an alley. Like the endless imagination of like 30 years from now. And that's still, that idea still blows me away. If you could give me a time machine, drop me off in an alley and be in the year 2040 and be like, what is at the end of this alley? I would be totally stoked. That's great. But it wouldn't be like Jaws 31 in 3D or whatever.
You wouldn't want that.
Yeah. But do you realize that's 5 years from now?
Jaws 31?
No, that Back to the Future 2 takes place in the year 2015.
That's my favorite part. My favorite, like when I was a kid, the only issues that I had with kind of not even time travel, it's not the same, but remember those old like Merry Melodies or Tom and Jerry where they would talk in the future, blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah, because
they had those cartoons about that. Yeah. And then it's like, and that future now, because when I was watching it, obviously these were reruns, you know what I mean? So the future was still 20 years old from where I was.
Yeah.
And the future of 1986.
Six. There'll be flying cars and we'll be walking around.
You know, because in the, if you've been to.
Walking around. Good one, Justin.
Yeah,
on the moon. If you've been to the Space Needle in Seattle, you know, that was built for the 62 World's Fair, and they were so focused on the millennium.
Men in Black taught us that.
That's right. No, that was World's Fair in New York. So the
Space Needle, difference.
Sure. that's a space travel issue you have, a time travel issue. So they were so consumed with the millennium, with the year 2000 approaching to be this big change and everything. But you have to think about it from their point of view, like people that were alive in 1960 or 1955, if they were 40 years old, that means they watched this entire transformation of their nation from being, you know, horse and carriage and barely electricity, most things being fire or gas driven, and the idea of somebody being on the moon was just ridiculous. I don't blame them. I think it's, we look at it now and we think it's silly, but the rate of progression in those 40 years to then say in 1955, about the year 1995, that we would have homes on the moon. It doesn't sound that unrealistic.
At that rate of progression, it's like, oh, well, clearly this could happen.
Because I remember distracted with Vietnam.
When I look at like that, especially that movie that's set in the Prohibition age or whatever now, the show series, Boardwalk or whatever, Empire or whatever.
Oh, okay.
It's interesting to me to think about how it was, and I thought of this too when my grandfather told me when he was born. And he was growing up during the Great Depression. I was like, wow, that's that close to me.
Yeah, exactly.
The Great Depression was that. It seems like so long ago, but it's that close. My grandfather lived it. He was
born
in the middle of it.
The Great Depression still has its foothold in our culture today because of the hoarder mentality that so many, like anytime you watch those hoarder shows and everything, that's holdover from the Depression era and that thinking that once you own something, do not give it away because you do not know if you're ever going to get it.
See,
again.
I think it has more to do with crazy people who don't have social skills and need to live with cats and animals in order to live.
Yes, there's that.
Yeah.
But there's also the Depression era mentality.
But mostly that they're sick.
If you go to your grandparents' house, do your grandparents have a shed full of shit that they're not using?
No. But here's the thing. Here's
my parents.
I see what you're saying.
But yours are Japanese. To be fair.
Half Japanese.
Oh, they have a half a shed.
Yeah.
It's a lean-to. No, because my grandfather has a lot of useless stuff.
Okay.
But he doesn't like, it's not memorabilia. It's not anything. It's just there's clutter to him, but it's not a collecting thing. It's not look at what I have. It's a very minimalist life. It's
right.
I bought this once and that's all I need. But at the same time, like it's interesting to see Excuse somebody me. Signed on to Skype. It's interesting for me to see somebody like my grandfather, who lives a very simple life, has always lived a simple life from when he was a child up until now, doesn't really need anything, because I believe it's because he grew up during the Great Depression. And then you see his kid, my father, who wants it all and is fighting and scraping and scratching to get it all. You know what I mean? See the product. And I think that that's why it's like my dad comments on how you, like what your thing of like your parents were bikers and so you find Christ and don't have a drink until you're 21. You know what I mean? Like that's your way of rebelling against them. Whereas my way of rebelling with against my dad, kind of, not really. I'm not very good at it.
Was becoming him.
Yeah. No, I'm not a direct copy.
Teach him a lesson.
My humor is him. But here's what when I'm being funny, it's him that comes out of me. I've recently learned, but I don't have to. I'm not fighting to climb any ladder like he is. Like there's certain aspects of me that I can find comfort in just sitting at home with my family. Mm-hmm. He can't do that.
Oh, really? He has to be doing something.
He has to be doing something. The way, and it's a lot of it probably has to do with his upbringing, but you have to be doing a chore, and that's how you interact as a family. It's weird now that he likes my son and he likes hanging out with him, but if it's like us there, he still has to be doing something else and then comes in and tags in with my son every once in a while and then bails.
I've noticed that, like when we were hanging out with the cabin last year for Jacob's first birthday, that he had no problem leaving for 4 hours to go get your nephew to bring him there.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got a task to do.
He's going to do it. And that's, just something to occupy.
If only he had time traveled while he was doing that.
Speaking of which, we got to wrap this up. Let's do your quiz real quick.
They're trivial. Okay. Oh, we'll see how boring this gets and then we'll move on.
Okay.
And then we'll just end. The first question is, what is Chrono Trigger? All right.
It's a game.
As H.G. Wells demonstrated in his 1895 novel, The Time Machine, which was one of my favorite movies, traveling into the future can be a tad depressing. And sometimes your time machine gets jacked as well. Who gets the blame for stealing the time traveler's fantastic invention? A, the Morlocks, B, the Orcs, or C, robots?
I think it's Morlocks.
Justin?
Oh, boy. I'm going to have to guess. B.
B, Orcs.
Did you just look at the answer?
No, it's not on the screen. Morlocks is correct.
Yeah!
Nice!
Boom!
Morlocks is correct. If you don't dig the steampunk look, which I do, we all know what the steampunk look
is?
Oh, yeah.
It's the idea of machines existing in the Old West.
It's like Justin is half of each of us. He understands what steampunk is, but doesn't get into the crazy science behind Back to the Future 2.
Exactly. It's a little, the Wild Wild West is probably the closest thing that made it into, that steampunk that made
like
it into
Mad
mainstream.
I
don't know. Yeah, but it's all like, it's set in 1884.
Right.
So there are robots that are powered by steam and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you don't dig the steampunk look, then maybe a ridiculous 1980s sports car is more your speed. But you'll need more than a flux capacitor and 1.21 gigawatts of electrical power to travel in style. In the 1985 film Back to the Future, what did the time-hopping DeLorean's vanity license plate read?
Oh, no.
That's a good one.
Something about 88, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'll read them to you. I'm sorry. A, B to future. B, B to the future, spelled T-H-F-U-T-R. C, out of time, O-U-T-A, time. Mm-hmm. Or D, time trav.
I think it's the C, out of time.
C, for sure.
C, out of time. That's our vote. All right. Let's see. Correct.
Boom.
Nice work. You can number three, you can divide most fictional time machine methods into two categories, methods based on a scientific theories and magical methods that are never explained. In Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, what magical device does Hermione Granger use to maximize her study time? A, a chronocollusionist, B, a time turner, C, a horcrux, or D, the Philosopher's Stone? Well, these are some very things.
Philosopher's Stone.
Yeah, I was going to say D.
You both are wrong. I'm going to give the right answer so that we don't get any more negative points. It's a B, a time turner. Time turner.
The boo.
Philosopher's Stone was the thing that gives eternal life from the first movie, not the third.
Boo.
Speaking of magic time travel, you might be tempted to let someone else do the driving on your journey. Say some manner of holiday spirit with the power to drag you into the past or the future. In Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. What time is Scrooge told to expect a ghost of Christmas yet to come?
Midnight
is A. B, when the bells toll one. C, when the bell's tolled two. D, in his own due time. Midnight is... Midnight. Yeah. Justin just said... midnight is wrong.
What? Whoa!
The correct answer is B, when the bells toll one. In the original text, the ghost of Jacob Marley warns, expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one. Expect the second on the next night at the same hour. The third upon the next night when the last stroke of 12 has ceased to vibrate. See, you can't just watch a couple of film adaptations and decide you're all ready to brave the world of supernatural time travel.
They had vibrate on phones then?
Number five, time travel factors into no fewer than 50 Star Trek television episodes, as well as four of the motion pictures. That's true. Which method did the Enterprise crew employ in 1986's Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, to fly back to the 1980s?
Slingshot around the sun.
A, they were sucked into a black hole.
Oh.
B, they flew through a wormhole. C, they used a sun as a gravitational slingshot. D, they used a derelict time travel pod from the 26th century. All of those are ways that they've traveled through time on Star Trek.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
C.
C is the correct answer.
How many more do we have?
10 more.
Not going to make it.
All right.
How can they find this quiz?
5 out of 5, you got 80%. Not bad. Or 4 out of 5, you got 80%.
Nice.
So nice work there.
Where can they find this quiz?
This is on the discovery.com. So you go to dsc.discovery.com and then do a search for time travel quiz. That's the name of it. It's on the Discovery Channel.
All right, nerds, I'm sorry. We are out of trivia challenges. So next week, you will hear us just chatting it up with Justin Imamura. Thank you very much for sitting in.
Thank you for having me.
And we will see you next week.
Can you speak some Japanese for us next week?
Arigato.
Awesome. We'll find out what that means.
This guy's an overachiever. We'll find out what that means.
I wish I could time travel into the future.
Nice.
Oh, that's hilarious. If you want to send us an email with the trivia challenge, you could do it at show@secondfunniestpodcast.com or give us a call, 408-228-4911. I'm going to be at the Funny Bone in Omaha, Nebraska, October 21st through 24th. I'm going to be at the Denver Improv in Denver, Colorado. That's only funny to me. November 26th.
No, I get it. Okay. It's funny.
November 26th and 28th, I'm going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena, California. For the SoCal listeners, December 3rd and 4th, all of my stand-up dates are available at justincomedy.com if you're just now hearing this, or if you're hearing it at a time that, like, if you say this is March of 2011.
In the future?
If it yeah.
We're time traveling.
Podcast land. You can please go to secondfunniestpodcast.com and fill out our survey. That gives us a ton of info on what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, who you are. That really helps us, even with my Jewish who you are. It helps us. It helps us. You can also...
cleaning that mic after the show.
No, this is always my mic. You could like us on Facebook. That helps us. There's a link right there at secondfunniestpodcast.com.
You can like us in real life. That would be nice.
If you want to tell more people about the show, underneath each episode, there's a little link that says Facebook, and that'll share the episode on your Facebook. Or you could click on the email link, and that'll let you email the episode and the link to it to all your friends that you would like to send it out to. And I think I am done with the plugs on behalf of our good friend, Justin Imamura, for sitting in.
Yeah.
This is Justin Worsham. And on behalf of my good friend, Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worsham saying, okay, bye.